Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, this week was a big one in Springfield. The state of the state, the vote to fund some higher education, the continued chaos around school funding formulas, and still no budget. What does it all mean? Well, Senator Daniel Biss was one of my first guests here on The Download, and he was such a kid back then. He's a Democrat that represents northern suburbs like Skokie and Glenview, and he's in studio with me tonight after a long week in Springfield.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Justin. I remember those young, naive, optimistic days before you got in the air and crushed all of our hopes, good to be back.
So let's talk about this week because, you know, we were able to, you know, get reaction from lawmakers from the state of the state. What'd you think of the speech?
Well, it seems like he's trying to take some steps to tone down some of the rhetoric. He kind of can't help himself from including a few aggressive zingers. But I think he understands that the first year in which he was governor, A, very little was accomplished in a proactive sense, and B, the state started to fall apart. We have no budget. Social service agencies are closing. The higher education infrastructure is crumbling. And I hope that he understands it's time for a reset.
Well, you know, there was a lot of talk, and Representative Sandek was on yesterday saying what he heard was it's an olive branch. He believes that the governor wants to compromise. He wants to work with Democrats, and it's on your guys' shoulders to meet in the middle.
I mean, I don't understand exactly what that means. It's on all of our shoulders to meet in the middle. It's on all of our shoulders to find some point of agreement. It seems to me that a preemptive strike saying in advance, oh, no, we didn't agree because you didn't agree with me, is probably the wrong way to go about it. There's a giant philosophical gap between most legislators, including almost all Democrats and plenty of Republicans on the one hand, and then the rest of the Republicans and the governor on the other hand, around what he calls his turnaround agenda. Those are giant philosophical differences, and if he wants to make progress, he's going to have to convince us gradually, and I look forward to having those discussions. Though I will tell you that some of my views in the opposite direction are very, very deeply held. In the meantime, the state needs a budget, and I think any day that we allow to go by without trying to figure out a way to reach some agreement on how to have a budget that's balanced, that's fair, that's sustainable, that funds the programs that are the priorities of the people of Illinois and that allow us to move forward without having continued fiscal harm inflicted upon the state is a day wasted.
Let me ask you this question because I get it all the time in texts here at WGN Radio and we hear it here with some of our guests as well. You have the supermajority. Democrats have the ability to pass a budget and sustain be able to get past the governor's veto. So what's stopping Springfield from having a balanced budget?
3 points. Point number one, the Democrats in the Senate have a pretty big supermajority, so it's pretty plausible that we could do that. Not certain, but plausible. We have overridden some gubernatorial vetoes in the Senate. The House, they don't. They've got just the number of votes they need, 71 votes. And so if any one of them isn't on board, they can't override the governor's veto. And that they've not all been on the same page. There's one member in particular who's
got a backpack.
He's got a backpack. He's got a sleeping bag. He's ready to go camping, but he's not ready to vote with the Democrats. And so that's been a challenge. So practically speaking, the Democrats can't override the governor. But here's the other point. The governor is the head of the executive branch of the government. He's got to run the government. If the governor and the General Assembly can't come to agreement on a budget, if the General Assembly is trying to run the state from the legislative chambers, you're heading for disaster anyway because the guy who's actually executing it isn't on board. The only constructive, reasonable way through this is for the General Assembly and the governor to come to some agreement. What do we view are our top priorities? Mm-hmm. What does it cost to deliver those services? How do we bring in the revenue needed to meet those costs? Now, right now, those conversations aren't happening.
And you had a conversation about this stuff earlier in spring, summer, where both parties passed an unbalanced budget, billions of dollars out of whack. What's interesting about it, though, is that it all sort of stems to this idea that we need to raise taxes. And Governor Rauner, just this week, you know, last week when he was talking about the CPS takeover, a question was asked me. He's like, Democrats want to raise taxes? Look the taxpayers in the eye and say, I want to raise taxes. Don't be cowards about it. But the question I have is, I saw Pat Quinn do that. I saw Governor Quinn do that 2-3 years ago when he had to do the income tax. Isn't it the job of the governor to step in front of the podium and say, we're going to have to raise taxes to balance a budget?
The job of the governor is to introduce a balanced budget. Literally, his legal obligation is to do that. He doesn't have to say we have to raise taxes. If he doesn't want to raise taxes, he could introduce a balanced budget without a tax increase. The dude has never done that. He's been governor for more than a year and has never introduced a balanced budget. If he thought we shouldn't raise taxes, I presume he would have then told us what the budget should look like that's balanced without a tax increase.
He would say 20% less in spending.
Yeah, he'd say, hey, look, I want to protect this one area, but I want to cut this other area. Here's how we're going to make the difference with cuts only. He won't do that. And the reason he won't do that is because he actually seems to, from what I can tell, want a tax increase, but he doesn't want to admit it. Come on. We need to tell the truth about how we're going to balance the budget and work it out together.
Why
and
do you think that is?
I mean,
we've already got – I mean, you saw Governor Quinn raise the income tax and it was rolled back. But what is it about politicians, especially in Springfield, that are just avoid – I mean, is it really that close in terms of being reelected that no one wants to introduce the idea of raising taxes?
You know, there's a couple issues, Justin. Number one, I'm not going to sugarcoat it or defend us. Politicians are risk averse and try to not be – out in front too much when it comes to articulating potentially controversial things. But the other thing about the governor is that he really wants to get what he calls his turnaround agenda through. That's his clear priority from what I can tell. So he wants to produce leverage. And so what he's saying is, hey, Democrats, I don't want to do anything on revenue. I don't want to pass a tax reform bill. I don't want to overhaul our tax code. I don't want to find a way to achieve adequate revenue to fund the programmatic spending that we need. But hey, I'll reluctantly agree to do it if you pass my turnaround agenda. So he's staking out a false, I would say dishonest position in order to create this kind of artificial leverage to get something totally unrelated done.
Talking with State Senator Daniel Biss, one of my first guests here on The Download. Good to see you. You're really so stately now. You know, before you had the tie undone, now you're all cleaned up.
I even shaved for you today, Justin.
You did. Back from a crazy week in Springfield, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Senator Biss here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Dan Biss is my guest, state senator from North Suburbs, Skokie, Glenview, Democrat. Was going to run for comptroller, backed off of that. I think you would have made a great comptroller.
I appreciate that.
You're so into math.
I do think that math is one of the top subjects. It's a great subject.
What's morale like down for lawmakers? I mean, it feels to me it would be a very difficult job to sit on your hands the entire time.
It's frustrating. I mean, one thing that I want to say about the great majority of people there, including, by the way, the governor, notwithstanding how much I disagree with him, is that most people are there trying to do something useful. And the fact that we've been in this holding pattern and watching the state decay and be harmed, watching people in our communities be harmed, is not what anybody signed up for. And so that's been frustrating. And I think there is a certain amount of, as you put it, sitting on our hands, and sometimes it feels like we're waiting. At the same time, the only path out of this nightmare is going to be if ideas come from unlikely places. And so as I talk with legislators, as much as the tone is kind of, hey, this is frustrating right now, I wish it were something different, there's also a lot of how can we help break us out of this
spot.
But
isn't there so much – there's so much, especially when you talk about the turnaround agenda and Speaker Madigan, you know, there seems to be so much, as Mike Fouché yesterday or earlier this week said, you know, he said, you know, it's like political chicken. I mean, you guys aren't really being asked to come up with good creative ideas. It's the bosses up top, and when they decide yay or nay, that's when you say yay or nay, right?
I actually think the turnaround agenda is a really interesting opportunity. So what's the turnaround agenda? The governor came into office. He said, hey, look, Illinois got giant problems, huge debt. We keep incarcerating our governors. Our
he was
bond
elected for that,
bad.
Right?
Yeah, we've got to fix these big problems. Right. And he laid out his agenda for how he thought he would fix those problems. Now, I think that his agenda is really dangerous and radical. But I think the question of what is the big visionary agenda to take on the great problems facing the state of Illinois is a very important question. And so that's a question I ask myself all the time. Are the leaders asking me that question on a daily basis? Maybe not. But I'm asking myself, what's the right, fair, constructive way to enact big visionary reforms that are going to get us out of these problems and not exacerbate the problems? I think that's an invigorating question to be asked.
You have been involved in some municipal pension talks. I mean, you've always been around with sort of alternative proposals. I mean, you've talked about retirement programs, things like that. Where are we? Because, you know, since the pension reform was considered unconstitutional, there really hasn't, you know, you've seen with Senate President Cullerton's idea and Bruce Rauner, Governor Rauner's weird kind of we agree but we disagree kind of dance they did. Where are we? I mean, are you guys actively trying to come up with reform, or are you just sort of like, well, the court said no, so I guess we'll just see what happens?
Well, a few things. First of all, the courts didn't just say no to that one bill. The courts issued a really
huge,
broad.
You can't change it.
Yeah, a very – they chose to go big in their opinion. And it's, I think we got to take it very seriously. And there are people who like to kind of pretend it's not really what it looks like. No, it's what it looks like, and we have to take it seriously.
What do you mean? You mean just the idea that...
There are people who say, oh, well, that specific bill wasn't quite right, but if you tweak it a little bit, you'll be all right. No, no, no. They went out of their way to say, look, this is a contractual right. You can't make changes, neither prospectively nor retroactively, and you can't use kind of the excuse of, hey, the state's in a really, really awful situation to get out of the contract. You have to make good on it. So I think, first of all, we've got to take that seriously. Now, President Cullerton has always felt that they would say that, and he's had a different legal theory, the theory of offer and consideration and acceptance, that he thinks should guide us in designing reforms. And it looks like he and the governor have an agreement now on a solution. Now, not all of us are confident that solution would be upheld either, but it's a different legal theory and one that he's eager to test. I think that there's a lot of different types of approaches that one could take. I think one could do completely voluntary changes, right? Give people a menu of options. Mm-hmm. One of the options is keep exactly what you have, and so that's clearly constitutional since you're allowing people to do so, but give them a menu of options which might give people the desire to entirely voluntarily change. I think there's some administrative changes one could make as well. I think there's a menu of things that can be done. What I really appreciate about President Cullerton's approach to this is he's trying to thread the needle and be thoughtful and careful. He's not interested in going as big as possible for the sake of beating up the workers or for the sake of getting the best headline. He's actually trying to get the ball across the finish line and move forward. And I think with a problem like this, which is so ethically complex, so technically complex, and so legally constrained, you're only ever going to make progress if you actually are thoughtful and measured and careful and conciliatory.
Because otherwise, in 8 months, you're going to be right where you started.
Exactly, exactly. And it's so, that's a waste of time.
Let me ask you about, we hear a lot of the code words, I mean, making Illinois more competitive, restructuring government, all leading towards this idea that has been floated a lot in the press and seems to be supported by Governor Rauner of municipal bankruptcy. You're a math guy.
Yeah.
What's your take on this? I mean, because I've seen the Better Government Association lean in, or I've seen the Tribune talk about it. I mean, there seems to be some sort of like, well, maybe this is a good idea.
All right, I gotta unbutton my button. Here comes. Loosen my tie for this one. Municipal bankruptcy is usually a really bad idea. It is place of very last resort. It is totally unnecessary right now, and it is dangerous, irresponsible, and reckless to be throwing that concept around. For example, you'll notice that the Chicago Board of Education pulled their bond issuance less than a week after the concept of CPS bankruptcy got thrown around. The problem with bankruptcy, beyond the obvious of you're harming workers and you're harming bondholders and you're harming the ability of the government to provide services now, beyond that is that you create an incredible long-term hit on the reputation of the government. And so if I am a teacher who would love to go teach in Chicago public schools because I think the mission of educating kids in the city of Chicago is extraordinarily important, but I've got options to go elsewhere instead, am I going to ever pick CPS if there's an entity that goes bankrupt sometimes and might just wipe out my pension and fire me for no reason, regardless of how my performance? If I'm a family who is choosing to live in the city of Chicago because of the many extraordinary benefits that the city of Chicago has and is sending my children to the Chicago public schools, which, by the way, is a thing that increasing number of families who have choices are doing, which is really, really good for the city.
Present. Right.
Glad to know it.
Yeah.
Would a family that is choosing to do that now but has lots of other options continue to choose to do it if the school district goes bankrupt periodically, leaving you to assume that there's complete instability in your kids' education? No, families aren't going to make that choice. And so what you're doing by going bankrupt is, in addition to all the short-term harm you're causing, you are wiping out the district's ability to attract workers and families for literally a generation. It is really dangerous. It's really harmful. And every time someone opens their mouth and suggests it, that's a step in the wrong direction.
All right. Let me ask you as we wrap up here. Let me ask you about the MAP funding stuff. This week, you guys essentially going against the idea that there's no budget and saying we got to fund higher education, community colleges, some four-year universities. We have to get financial aid to the students who need it because they're being shut out. Talk about this because you guys were able to get something through, but there's a good chance that the governor's going to say no.
He may well veto it, which would be a real shame. Here's why we did this. And you're right. This is not a complete budget. This is just another piece.
It's another stopgap piece of the spending,
and it's not part of a sustainable budget solution, which is a shame. But here's the thing. Here's what the MAP grant is, the Monetary Award Program. It is a need-based tuition assistance for Illinois resident students who go to college in Illinois. So if you qualify, let's say, for $3,500 of MAP assistance, the state or the Illinois Student Assistance Commission will send $3,500 to your college, and they'll therefore lower your tuition by $3,500. Those letters promising that award to those students went out early last spring, February, right. March. And then the money wasn't put in the budget. The students were told they were going to get it. The universities were told they were going to get it. And then when the fall came, there was no money in the budget, and the universities told the students last fall, hey, don't worry. We're not going to ask you to make up that difference. We're just going to kind of, at least for now, eat it. Well, now that we're hitting the spring and the universities have eaten a big loss and are, by the way, in the case of public universities and community colleges, not getting any other state aid, they're starting to say, well, we're not sure how long we can do this.
Right.
We can maybe continue to not charge you right now, but if the state doesn't eventually make us whole, we'll have to put it on your tuition.
Right.
And as a result of that uncertainty, 1,000 kids, poor kids who otherwise would be in school today, are going home.
And not returning.
Exactly. Right. I mean, and having to make other arrangements, having to all of a sudden find a mechanism of providing for themselves without the benefit of the kind of education they were expecting to have. It's crazy. It is wrong. It is unfair. It is unjust. And so while I think we obviously need to pass a single comprehensive balanced budget, and doing this one bit at a time is a frustrating way of doing it, the choice before us, which is now the choice before the governor, as he can sign or veto this bill, is to say, hey, those 1,000 kids should go to school, or those 1,000 kids should stay home. I voted yes because I want those kids to go to school, and the governor should sign the bill to allow those kids to go to school.
You know what I like about this is that sounds like the politics I know. That sounds like the lawmaking I know. You put something together, the governor says, I like it or I don't like it, sends it back. If you think that it's such a big deal that you get two-thirds, like that's the government we learned about in civics class. That's what we want to see, I think, as the taxpayers of Illinois. More of this, less of this political chicken.
Yeah, listen, I mean, nobody wants us to sit in Springfield and stare at each other about how we're not doing stuff. It's time for us to actually sit down, negotiate, not just on this university issue, though goodness knows that's important, but on the whole suite of budget issues and get moving again.
Senator Daniel Biss, he represents northern suburbs like Skokie and Glenview. He's a Democrat. Thanks for coming in. Good to see you. And, you know, we'll have to check in as the session continues in Springfield.
Thanks a lot. It's great to be back.